美国气候特使克里将访问中韩两国。联邦众议员表示，大流行病警醒美国看清中国恶意行为。美国将于9月11日前从阿富汗撤军。美东时间4月13号星期二，北京时间4月14号星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我们从美国首都华盛顿为您现场直播。美国总统拜登的气候特使克里本周三到周六将前往中国上海与韩国首尔，商讨下周由美国主办的气候领导人峰会。白宫表示，美中在气候议题上寻求合作，但将持续关注中国的人权侵犯、科技滥用等议题。此外，拜登政府有信心应对包括中国在南中国海和台湾构成的威胁。请看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。耀毅。
这星期二的时候呢，美国国务院发出声明说，这个拜登总统的气候特使克里呢，将会这个星期三到星期六，也就是4月14号到17号，前往中国上海以及韩国首尔来商讨这个将在下个星期来举办由美国来主办的这个气候变化领导人的峰会。那么这峰会举办日期预定是在4月22号到23号。那么他们同时呢，也会讨论在今年稍晚将会来举办的第26届联合国气候变化框架会议。那么在星期二的这个白宫新闻简报会上呢，被问到说是否美国会趁着这个气候变化峰会的这个机会呢，来跟中国修补关系。那么对此呢，白宫这个发言人沙奇表示说呢，现在有超过40位以上的这个国家领导人受邀来参加气候变化的这个峰会，那并没有来讨论是否会举办双边的会谈。那么此外呢，与中国方面的这很多美国关注的议题呢，他也都会关注。而美国与中国之间呢，不是对抗的关系，而是竞争的关系。我们看一下沙奇是怎么说的。
We believe that the most important steps we can take is to rebuild and support our own economy here at home, and to also be candid about areas where we have concerns, whether it's human rights abuses or technological abuses.
此外呢，在星期二中午呢，白宫也举办了一个关于从阿富汗撤军的背景简报会。在当中呢，资深官员表示，美国从5月1号开始呢，逐步的撤军，预计要在9月11号之前呢，完全撤除美国驻阿富汗的驻军。那么这也刚好是这个911恐怖袭击事件的20周年。那么在星期三呢，拜登总统将会在白宫特别来谈撤军的计划跟详情，以及美国接下来要如何来因应在全球范围的各种威胁。那么在这个简报会上呢，被问到说拜登政府是否对美国军力有信心足够来应对全世界各个方面的这个威胁，包括俄罗斯在克里米亚还有乌克兰，以及中国在南中国海还有对台湾造成的威胁。对此呢，这个白宫发言人沙奇回应说，拜登政府有信心。我们看一下他怎么说。
He believes we have the best military men and women serving in the world, and so he has absolute confidence.
那么沙奇表示呢，除了对军力有信心之外，拜登政府也相信要以外交先作为手段。那么在他的行动领导还有做法当中都清楚地表明了。此外，路透社报道说呢，拜登总统派出了3位的特使前往台湾。这3位特使是前参议员 Chris Stock、 前美国副国务卿阿米塔吉以及史坦伯格。白宫资深官员表示呢，这3位特使都是台湾的长期友人，同时呢又跟拜登总统有这个私人的这个情谊，所以呢这对美国对台湾还有民主的承诺传达出重要的信息。所以我们也知道，这个星期是第一位在拜登政府任内来访白宫的外国领导人，也就是日本首相菅义伟。那资深官员也表示呢，菅义伟以及拜登将会谈到维持台海现状的议题。卡拉，
好的，感谢耀毅的详细报道。应美国总统拜登的要求，前美国参议员克里斯多德和2位前常务副国务卿理查德·阿米蒂奇和詹姆斯·斯坦伯格星期二前往台湾进行访问。白宫表示，这是显示美国对台湾及其民主承诺的重大信号。白宫表示，在美国和台湾庆祝《台湾关系法》42周年之际，美国派出这支非官方代表团。拜登当年作为美国参议员曾投票支持这项法案。在白宫做出这番宣布之前，美国国务院上周五公布了美国官员与台湾交往的新准则。这些新的指导方针将允许美国官员在会晤台湾官员时有更多的自由空间。 美国国务院4月13号证实，美国气候特使约翰·克里将于4月14日至17日访问中国上海和韩国首尔，讨论提升全球气候目标的问题。《华尔街日报》援引消息人士称，美国气候特使克里在上海期间将会见中国气候特使谢振华，并与中国国务院副总理韩正等主管经济和气候变化的中国高级官员进行视频会议。此外，克里或许还将与中国主管外交事务的国务委员杨洁篪以及中国外交部长王毅对话。美中关系评论人士张家敦对美国之音说，这将考验拜登政府是否能够既在气候变化问题上与中国合作，同时也在其他领域反对中国的主张。
I think we're going to learn a lot. Kerry's brief is only climate change, but we know that the Chinese have said that we cannot cooperate with China just on that issue. That if there is going to be cooperation on climate, there's got to be cooperation across the board. So this will be a test of Biden policy that we can cooperate with China in certain areas and impose Chinese interests on others.
日本首相菅义伟本周将访问美国，并且与美国总统拜登在白宫举行会谈。菅义伟将成为拜登总统上任之后第一位进行面对面会谈的外国领袖。有分析指出，美日峰会之后所发表的共同声明将对亚太地区包括台海稳定传达明确的讯息。下面是美国之音驻国务院常驻记者站主任张荣香的报道。
在三月中旬美日国防与外交2+2会谈之后，美国总统拜登与日本首相菅义伟本周五将在白宫举行首脑会谈，议题预计将在自由与开放的印度太平洋架构下讨论亚太安全，包括台海稳定的重要性、美日安保条约、朝鲜无核化、中国侵犯人权问题以及气候变化等等。高级美国政府官员不止一次公开就美国致力于维护台海稳定明确表述。
Our commitment to Taiwan is rock solid. We think and we know that it contributes to the maintenance of peace and stability across the Taiwan Strait and within the region as well. We have, of course, taken note with great concern the pattern of ongoing PRC efforts and attempts.To intimidate in the region, including in the context of Taiwan, in support of longstanding U.S. policy, again, as reflected in the Taiwan Relations Act, the United States maintains the capacity to resist any resort to force or other forms of coercion that would jeopardize the security or the social or economic system of the people on Taiwan. We'll continue to work with allies and partners in support of our shared prosperityour security and our values in the Indo-Pacific region, and that includes with regard to peace and stability in the Taiwan Strait.
分析指出，延续上个月美日二加二会谈联合声明的基调，本周美日首脑会谈之后的共同声明，渴望纳入有关台海和平与稳定的文字。
President Biden and the Biden administration have prioritized allies, including Japan, when it comes to their plans for dealing with China. They want to get sign-off from Japan, from South Korea, from other Asian allies. What that means in practice and how important that will be for Taiwan, I think, remains unclear. But I think there'll be an emphasis in any press statements and other official rhetoric on the importance of cooperation between the United States and Japan.
美国国务院上个星期五表示，与台湾交往的新准则符合美国的一个中国政策、台湾关系法、美中三公报以及六项保证。分析家说，新的举措在既有政策的基础上，针对可能破坏台稳定的举动传达讯息。
I think it's a deliberate attempt to signal or show the Chinese that their efforts to intimidate Taiwan will just lead to greater U.S. ties, not a U.S. Effort to pull out of its strategic ambiguity policy towards Taiwan or remove itself from the situation.
另一方面， 美国智库学者以及前任官员葛莱伊、何瑞安以及伍瑞哲最近联名发表一篇评论文章，文章呼吁不要大肆宣扬台海发生战争的可能风险来帮助中国。评论指出，炒作中国对台湾的威胁是帮了北京的忙。评论还建议促使美台经济关系现代化，并且提供平台为台湾在世界舞台上赢得尊严和尊重。以上是美国之音驻国务院记者站主任张荣香的报道。
美国国务卿布林肯目前在布鲁塞尔与欧盟和北约盟国会面，讨论包括俄罗斯在乌克兰边境的军事集结以及联军在阿富汗的行动等一系列问题。布林肯星期一发文说，美国致力于重建美国的同盟关系，特别是与北约盟国的联盟。他星期二与乌克兰外长会谈，布林肯与北约秘书长斯图尔滕伯格就乌克兰局势进行交谈后表示，双方同意俄罗斯必须结束其危险的军事集结和正在对乌克兰边境的侵略。阿富汗局势是布林肯一行此次到布鲁塞尔访问的另一个主要讨论议题。美国前总统特朗普政府与塔利班达成协议，到5月1日时撤出目前留在阿富汗的2500名美国军人。根据美联社的报道，美国南缅因州大学计划关闭孔子学院。该校公共事务主任格拉斯对美联社说，校方继续致力于人与人的交流，加强全球理解，促进跨文化的学习，但使用孔子学院的学生太少了。该校的孔子学院将在6月10号关闭。孔子学院目前还没有对此发表评论。美联社说，塔夫茨大学上个月也宣布将关闭孔子学院。在此之前，波士顿藏人协会等中国政府的反对人士进行了几个月的抗议。美国之音最近采访了共和党联邦众议员佩里，讨论了一系列有关两岸局势和美中关系等议题。佩里说，新冠病毒大流行病令美国和世界张开了双眼，看清中共政权的恶意行为和残暴本质。他认为华盛顿和北京重返过去的美好时光并非不可能，但在中共压迫自己人民和邻国的情况下，美中关系不会一如既往。请看专访内容的第二部分。
Next, let's move on to China. So the Senate now is considering a large investment bill to beef up the supply chain manufacturing and also some technology R&D. Can you share with us what you hear about this legislation, and is that something that you would support?
Well, we've got to know exactly what's in the legislation, and of course, we do want supply chains to come back to the United States. And with all due respect to my friends on the other side of the building and on the other side of the aisle, one of the best ways to do that is to incentivize businesses to come home as opposed to enforcing hardline edicts. And the best way to do that is through tax policy, regulatory policy. In the last administration, you saw that. Now, it included also tariffs. I'm not a big fan of broad-based tariffs, but certainly targeted tariffs have a key role in that.And taking a really aggressive line on China in that regard has made the difference. We saw success in the last administration. If that indeed was successful, it seems to me we should continue down that road. I'm certainly willing to look at Senator Schumer's legislation, and I have an open mind about it. We want to do everything we can to bring supply chains home. I think the pandemic opened not only America's eyes, but the world's eyes to the malign activities of China, including intellectual property theft and generally deceitful practices regarding trade and including supply chains and trying to crowd out the rest of the market with practices like dumping.To make sure that there is no competition. And so I think we do need to be hyper-focused on it. But let's not have a partisan approach to this. Let's have everybody in the room, Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, liberals, independents, what have you, because we should understand that on this issue, we should all be on the same side and able to work together and put our differences aside because we all should be aligned in policy, in thought and action against the Communist Party of China.
Mm-hmm. Biden administration is actually re-evaluating a lot of policies between, toward China. Is there any specific policy you would like to see Biden administration to continue? And how do you assess the early days of the new administration's policy with regard to the CCP?
Well, I would say it's been a lot of talk and not much action. And unfortunately, their appointments, the Biden administration's appointments at cabinet level, you don't have to take Representative Perry's word for it. You can just look at the resumes. Unfortunately, the Biden administration at the very top and throughout is replete with individuals that have strong financial and policy connections to the Communist Party of China. And that's very, very concerning. There are many of these nominees at the cabinet level that, had I been in the Senate, I would not have voted for, specifically for that reason. We can't have sympathetic ears in the administration or in this administration. We can't have sympathetic ears to the Communist Party of China and their goals. We cannot have a China first policy. We must have an America first policy, which precludes the Communist Party of China. And very specifically, I would think and I would hope that the Biden administration and this legislature would be interested in taking up my bill, which would list the Communist Party of China as a transnational criminal organization, whether it's pumping fentanyl through our southern border or through the U.S. mail to our towns and communities, whether it's unfair trade practices, whether it's intellectual property theft, whether it's the bellicose actions to allies and friends around the perimeter of China and the construction of islands for military use. All those things lead to what I describe as a transnational criminal organization. I think that they absolutely meet the definition, and I think we ought to quit fooling around, hoping that the Communist Party of China is going to change its behaviors. You know, human rights violations. We're literally doing business with the leadership in the Communist Party that puts the Uyghurs in concentration camps, forced sterilization of women in China, and forced organ harvesting. This is no regime that we should be doing any business with. And the sooner we understand and acknowledge that fact, the sooner we can get to making sure that the world knows that we isolate China, the Communist Party in China, and we start trying to change their behaviors and bring them into the democratic world of nations.
You actually just mentioned a lot of issues that are really concerning: intellectual property theft, espionage activities, unfair trade behaviors, and the human rights violations. But what's your biggest concern over China? And do you still see any possibility between the U.S. and China to go back to the good old times?
Well, certainly there's always the possibility, but not while the Communist Party of China seeks to oppress not only its own people, but its neighbors. It cannot be business as usual. I think that throughout the pandemic, what most of America woke up to was what many of us knew all along, that this is a brutal dictatorship. This is a criminal organization that operates leading a country and oppresses its citizens and wants to rule the world. And that is what's concerning to me, that every moment we don't focus our attention on that and take action on that is bad, not only for the United States of America, but for the people that yearn to be free around the globe.
Mm-hmm. One last question. So in a recent report, we see a rising number of hate crimes against Asian Americans, and there are critics who are saying that anti-China rhetoric is fanning the flames of anti-Asian hatred. Do you agree with that? And how to keep up the pressure on the Chinese Communist Party without causing any unintended consequence at home?
Yeah, sure. Every single attack on a citizen of Asian descent, or quite honestly, any descent in America, is regrettable and unacceptable and needs to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. But Don't be fooled here. This is Chinese propaganda using what happens in America against us. There's no moral equivalency to a free society that tries to and endeavors and seeks perfection every single day and tries to make a more perfect union, ferret out its weaknesses and the people in America that would hate and carry out these crimes. But there's no moral equivalence whatsoever to the communist, the totalitarian, and the criminal regime that, again, forces sterilization, puts its people in concentration camps, and engages in things like forced organ harvesting, not to mention the espionage, the intellectual property theft, and all the other things that you already mentioned. No moral equivalency whatsoever, and quite honestly, it's laughable that the Chinese negotiators should bring that propaganda to this world stage and think that it's going to have any place for free-speaking citizens around the globe. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And that concludes our interview with Congressman Scott Perry. Thank you so much, Congressman, for taking your time, sharing your insights with us today. We truly appreciate that.
Well, thank you very much to the Voice of America for the work you do. And we're always happy to stand with you here on the Voice of America, especially against the Communist Party of China. Thank you very much. God bless you. Be safe and have a great day.
Thank you. Have a good day.
周二美股收盘涨跌不一，标普500再创盘中和收盘历史新高。有关建议停用强生新冠疫苗的消息，使得与经济重启相关的个股承压。道琼斯指数收报33,677.27点，跌幅为0.2%。纳斯达克指数收报13,996.10点，涨幅为1.05%。标普500收报4,141.49点，涨幅为0.33%。周二公布的通胀数据显示，消费者价格指数 CPI 在三月环比上涨0.6%，同比上涨2.6%，略高于经济学家的预期。美联储此前表示，鉴于去年疫情带来的影响，在通胀率超过2%之后的一段时间，仍然会保持宽松货币政策。由于此前出现的血栓病例，美国食品药品管理局 FDA 建议暂停使用强生新冠疫苗，使得市场出现谨慎情绪。美国观察每天美东时间下午，北京时间早上6点到6点半，在 YouTube、推特、脸书平台同步直播。欢迎您在直播间给我们留言和提问。共和党联邦众议员佩里认为，大流行病警醒美国看清中国的恶意行为，行政部门应当推动美国第一政策。您对美中关系的未来走向怎么看？期待在节目中分享您的意见。昨天的节目中，我们报道了联邦众议员呼吁拜登政府采取具体行动支持台湾。美国和菲律宾启动2021联合军演，美国印太司令与日本防务相重申同盟合作。YouTube 网友欧盟留言说，二战之后的七八十年间，和美国在一起的国家走向平等与富裕，跟美国作对的国家保持幸福的贫穷。中国从作对转向亲善，再转向作对，民心可期，结果亦可期。推特网友 Pauline 留言说，中共的独裁与民主的美国是天然的敌人，经历了这么多，美国不应该再抱有任何幻想。以前中共一直隐藏恶意，是因为它还不够强大，还需要利用西方的技术等等让自己强大。独裁的本质就是丛林规则，弱肉强食。中国几千年的历史告诉我们，为了坐上独裁的龙椅，多少骨肉同胞自相残杀。有关德克萨斯州取消新冠限制措施，推特网友 Park J. Gu 留言说，珍惜来之不易的自由，各族裔和睦共处，不要一叶障目不见泰山，要防止某些政体为了证明其专制的优越性而破坏欧美和东亚的稳定性。感谢您的评论和反馈，期待在今后的节目中和大家进行更多的交流。美国联邦卫生官员星期二说，出于谨慎，他们建议立即暂停使用强生新冠疫苗。在此之前，美国报告了六起血栓病例，目前已经有超过680万人接种了强生疫苗。美国疾控中心首席副主任安妮·舒卡特说，在过去一个星期左右的时间，接种了强生疫苗的人，如果出现严重的头痛、腹部或腿部疼痛或呼吸急促，应该联系医生。白宫新冠疫情响应团队协调员杰夫·齐恩茨说，暂停使用强生疫苗的决定不会对全国疫苗接种项目有重大的影响，因为强生疫苗迄今只占被接种疫苗的不到5%。美国已经获得了足够为 3亿人接种的辉瑞和莫德纳疫苗。在明尼苏达州布鲁克林中心发生了黑人男子遭警察枪击身亡的事件之后，当地的抗议活动持续发酵。警方说这是一起由于警察操作失误而导致的误杀事件，但死者的家属并不接受这种说法。尽管当地政府宣布实施宵禁，但抗议活动一直持续到星期一深夜。来看报道。
My heart is literally broken into 1,000 pieces, and I don't know what to do or what to say. But I just need everybody to know that he is much more than this.
My brother lost his life because they were trigger happy. Like...Again, you know the your left from your right. You know the difference between plastic and metal. We all know it. We know the difference in night and day.
Unnecessary, just so unnecessary. This young man never should have been killed by the police. That's why we have to get the George Floyd Justice and Police and Accountability Act passed.
洛杉矶一家名为没有你们就没有我们的非营利组织在过去的一年中全力以赴从事了许多洛杉矶的餐馆曾经提供的慈善工作。来看美国之音记者巴格达·塞尔扬的报道。
对于因大流行病而失业的无证移民来说，盒子里的蔬菜、粮食和肉类等通常是他们在疫情危机时能够获得健康食品的唯一机会。
No hay trabajo, el Denis le dijo, no va a haber más trabajo, le dio una carta, pero pues, ¿qué hacíamos con esa carta? Nadie, de nada te servía, porque no te iban a dar desempleo, porque no tenemos estatus.
莫塞德大约20年前从墨西哥来到加利福尼亚，但是他和他的丈夫都不具备在美国合法居留的文件。在大流行病之前，他曾是街头小贩，但此后失去了工作。在过去的一年中，达米安·迪亚兹和奥顿·诺拉斯科一直在帮助像莫塞德这样的人。两人于2020年3月成立了一个名为“没有你们就没有我们”的非营利性慈善组织。当时，洛杉矶首次发布了新冠疫情封锁令。
We put our money together and we started helping out 10 families.With our own money. After that, it spread like wildfire, and I'm happy to say that 11 months later, we're helping over 1,600 families a week.
皮尤研究中心的数据显示，无证移民占所有餐厅工作人员的10%以上。许多人交纳所得税，但没有资格获得政府援助。迪亚兹认为这不公平，但其他人则认为，没有适当的证件而在美国居住的人们不应该享有与公民同等的福利。
We have enough people in our country who are hurting, who are unemployed, who don't have much to eat and can't pay their rent and pay their bills. Why should we reach out and help those that are invading our country? I think we should stop.
据估计，有1100万人生活在美国没有合法身份，但其中许多人承担起了多数美国人不愿从事的工作。
No somos criminales.No somos asesinos, somos personas que solo buscamos un trabajo honesto, que solo buscamos un poquito de seguridad en este país.
为了感谢志愿者，莫塞德为他们带来了热腾腾的午餐。没有你们就没有我们这个组织，每月可以帮助大约7000人获得生活必需品。美国之音巴格达萨扬，洛杉矶报道。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。